We're going to talk about grace this morning. Grace, the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. I love that definition of grace, unmerited favor, which means there's nothing you can do or you have to do to receive God's grace. God's grace is available, listen, to everyone. My question for all of us this morning, have you experienced the grace of God? Are you experiencing the grace of God? And do you expect to experience the grace of God in the days ahead? Because if we don't have a proper understanding of grace, boy, can we get discouraged quickly, can't we? If we don't know that the grace of God is available to us, if we don't realize that through Jesus Christ, God fulfilled that beautiful grace for all people, that if we would look to Christ Jesus for that grace and come to him constantly for that grace, man, how could we do life without it? I mean, it's the grace of God that we can actually say, hey, this happened in my life. It was very difficult, but God is good. God is so good and so faithful to carry me through. It's the grace of God that, you know, Jesus or God says, it's the grace of God that's always going to be sufficient. Because Paul says, or in Acts, it says, God, grace is sufficient. It not might be sufficient, it not may be sufficient, it is sufficient for us. And so we need to stand on the truth that God's grace is sufficient. And Paul wants Timothy to know that no matter what happens in his life, no matter what struggles or what difficulties or what circumstances he may find himself in, God's grace is always there for him, and it is sufficient for him. He wants him to know that if people around him abandon him and hurt him, that God's grace is always there to comfort him. Because, guys, listen, when it comes to living the Christian life apart from the grace of God, where's the hope? Apart from that grace that is always dwelling in us and always speaking to us and always directing us, and we, if we look closely, we'll see God working in our lives. As we sang this morning, he works all things out for good. Can you as a Christian say that in your life, that he's worked all things out for good in my life, even the difficulties? Oh, we love the blessings and we love the good times and we love the mountaintop experiences, and those certainly are wonderful and invited. But there are also those times when we just don't know what we're doing. We don't know the direction that we're going. We don't know where God is leading us, but we always must know that God's grace is there for us. Because Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's the grace of God that saved you by faith in Jesus Christ. That salvation is secured through God's grace. Isn't that great news? It's good to know that God isn't looking down at your life and saying, you know, Monday you didn't do so good. Tuesday you really struggled. Wednesday wasn't bad. You went to church. And he doesn't degree his grace based on our performance. Hallelujah? Amen? I mean, it's like, thank you, Lord. Because it's God's grace that is always there when we're faithless. It's always there. And we just gotta love the grace of God. See, it will be God's grace that will carry Timothy through. And here's the Apostle Paul, as we've been talking in this letter, his final letter, his last will and testament, if you will, and really encouraging young Timothy, Timothy, keep the faith. Timothy, stay strong. Study your scriptures. Teach the scriptures. Be a man of faith, Timothy, because when I'm gone, you're going to have to lean more upon Christ than you ever have before. Listen, guys, there are strong Christians in our lives that help us get through. There are strong men and women of faith that encourage us, either through teachings or devotions or even friendships that we have, that prayer warrior that's with you that'll be support to you. Those are great people to have in our lives. But if those people were removed, would you still be able to maintain? Simply because of the grace of God in your life and your dependency upon Jesus. Oh, I think it's a great tool of the enemy to take out strong leaders in churches, to really devastate ministries. And we've seen it. And it's a concern of mine, and it's a concern of leaders in churches, that our eyes aren't fixed upon a leader, but our eyes are fixed upon Christ, the leader. My hope and my passion and my vision is to encourage you to believe in Jesus on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. to encourage you that it's Jesus that will carry you through. So that you don't feel like when you get in a tough situation, I got to call Pastor Rob. I've got to call, somebody's got to help me. And don't get me wrong, you can call me. But I'm going to point you to Jesus. And if you can just depend upon Jesus in your storms of life, if you can depend upon him, he'll carry you through because his grace is sufficient. And that's what Paul's saying to Timothy. Oh, Timothy, please depend upon the grace of God in your life. Because Paul experienced the grace of God in a huge way, didn't he? In his life, he saw the grace of God as we started this book and the list of things that Paul had to suffer. The things that he had to go through, the beatings, the stonings, the shipwrecks, all of those things that happened to him. Oh, it was the grace of God that carried him. I mean, it's the grace of God to know that when you're in the storms of life and the boat is rocking and the wind's blowing and the rain's coming down, that you know Jesus is asleep in the boat. That you know Jesus is there with you, not worried about a thing. And to know that he's there to calm the storms in our lives. That's God's grace, guys. You know, write this verse down. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. It's only a few pages to the right if you want to turn there, but I want to read it to you. Because I really want you to focus upon the words, because this is what Paul says to Titus about this idea of grace. And listen to it. It's very powerful. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Do you see the grace of God? The grace of God is available to all men, but we have a responsibility as Christians to do what? Deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. The grace of God is... Am I doing something wrong? Titus 2. What did I say? That's why you're here. It's my support staff. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Do I have to start again? Yes, okay. Verse 11. I'll do that. We got time. You're not leaving because I did that, are you? Okay. Oh, verse 11, Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, the grace of God is teaching us that we must deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, when? In the present age. Oh, the grace of God is available to us. The grace of God is there for you. God's grace is sufficient for you, but listen, you can't live an ungodly life. You can't live in worldly lusts and expect the grace of God to just wash over it. I don't know what it is. It's this thing in the churches that people take the grace of God for granted. I can live my life any way I want. No, that's not true. God's grace is there for you, but guys, we have got to fight against the things of the flesh. You've got to fight against those tendencies that your flesh wants to go to. If someone hurts you, fleshly, we want to retaliate. When someone bothers you, fleshly, you want to not associate with that person any longer. No. Denying ungodliness. Godliness is being gracious to others. When you experience, as Paul did, and as many of us have, experience the grace of God and the love of God and this overwhelming presence of God, we too shall be gracious. We too shall be loving. We too shall, as it says at the end, live soberly, righteously, and godly today. Even though we're living a fallen world with a lot of bad things that are going on. And we can do it with the grace of God. Moving on in verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're looking for the return of Christ, always in the forefront of our minds. That's the hope that we have. In verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Oh, the grace of God is there. But we have a responsibility as Christians to do our best with God's help to overcome the lust of the flesh and to walk in the Spirit and to, right there at the end, be zealous for good works. Guys, I want you to every single day to wake up and say, God, what are we going to do today? Well, how are we going to impact the kingdom today, God? How are we going to reclaim some of the souls that have been lost from the enemy today, God? Be zealous for those things. Your life is so important to the God that he wants to use you. Your gifts, your talents, which we've been talking about, God wants to use you. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Paul wants Timothy to live, listen, in God's grace. He wants his life to be overwhelmed with God's grace. Have you been overwhelmed with God's grace? Raise your hand. See, we got to work. We got to get those arms up. God's grace, guys, will get you through whatever you're going through. It's rising above your circumstances, and we all have them. We all have those desires of our hearts, which I believe God places there. And we look at those desires and we go, but God, this is happening. God, I don't understand. We've been faithful. We pray to you. We want to love you. We want to love on other people. And then this is happening. You allowed this to happen. Why, God? And God goes, I'll show you why. But you got to be patient. And to experience God's grace in every season and every day of your life. Do you live in the grace of God? Have you experienced God's grace that comes through Jesus Christ? Because really, salvation is grace. And if you don't know that you're saved, if you can't stand up and say, I'm going to be in heaven, if you can't stand up and go, I know I'll be there, if you're one of those people that says, I'm not sure, boy, I hope so. I hope I'm more good than I am bad. No. That doesn't qualify. You don't stand at the gates of heaven and say, I was more good than bad. You stand at the gates and you fall in humility and say, I'm here by the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing more. And that's how you can have that assurance, because in ourselves, we're pitiful. But in Christ, we're powerful, zealous for good works. If you're in Titus, now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at three things. Three things that we will see that will help you live in God's grace. Who wants to live more in God's grace this morning? Say me. Okay, good, good. Verse 1, chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Give me your attention. Pause right there. Point number one, if we're going to be living in God's grace, it has to come by being faithful. By being faithful. Very, 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 gosh, what's the word? Very simple. Very simplistic. We must be faithful. We cannot be unfaithful and expect God's grace to be all over us. We must be faithful. And when I'm talking about being faithful, and not just in our own lives, not us in our own minds or our own hearts, but being faithful to make sure we're passing on the baton to whether it's a next generation or to a loved one or a friend, to be mindful of putting the faith and the things that God has showed you into the hearts and the lives of others. That's what I'm talking about. Because he says here, you therefore, my son, he's talking to Timothy. He wasn't his own son, but Paul led Timothy to faith, so he saw him as a son in the faith. He says, therefore, my son. Paul had just told Timothy from last week at the end, remember? We talked about the two dudes that were really not nice to Paul, about how all in Asia kind of left Paul and abandoned Paul. And for one verse, he names those two dudes. I'm not going to pronounce their names right, so why even go there? But then the last three or four verses, Onesiphorus is a brother that was always zealous to help and come and encourage Paul. And so Paul says at the end of chapter 1, because again, chapters don't mean, okay, next Sunday. Chapter 2 continues from what Paul is teaching Timothy, and he says basically, listen, there's going to be all those that are going to abandon you, and here's a couple guys that really hurt me, but here's a brother that's faithful, Timothy. And Timothy, I want to make sure that you, Timothy, my son, operate in God's grace so that the people who abandon you don't affect you, but that you focus on those who love you. Focus on those who are there for you. I was at a board meeting for another Calvary Chapel here in town. I believe it was, gosh, what day was it? Days are all running together. This week, earlier this week. And this brother, struggling, it just had one of his worship leaders kind of take five families from the church and lost 30 people from his church, kind of a kind of a church split. And yet, man, your heart breaks for a brother that goes through something like this. But you know what? After studying these scriptures, I was able to encourage this guy. Man, don't look at the ones that don't love what God's doing in your life. Focus on the ones that do love what God's doing in your life. Do you have people in your church that love God? Do you have people in your church that are encouraged by the ministry that you are called to? Do you have people in your church that love you most of the time? He goes, yes. I go, focus on those. Focus on those, because those are the ones that will help us. Those are the ones that will encourage you. Because he doesn't want Timothy, hey, Timothy, when things get tough, run. You know, when things get difficult, run, you know, get out, Timothy. No, he wants him to be faithful and persevere through the difficulties. And I'll be honest. I'll be transparent, if you will. If I quit every time things got tough, wow, I'd have quit a lot. Because it's tough. Life is tough. We can't quit life, but we can't run from it either. And I'm just so thankful for those brothers and sisters in my life, as Paul was talking about at the end of chapter 1, that are willing to stick it out with you through tough times. Not too long ago, our church went through a very difficult and dark time. And there were those who left who couldn't handle it. But there were also those who are faithful that are here today that stuck by. And we walked through it. And we got through it. And God is blessing that faithfulness. Because I find that even here as Paul's encouraging Timothy, listen, Timothy, things are going to get tough. And I find that sometimes for some Christians, if things get tough, they stop, they quit. They lay down their sword. They don't want to do it anymore. It didn't turn out the way they wanted it to, so they just give up. No. To experience the grace of God and the love of God and the blessings of God, you've got to be faithful, guys. You've got to be faithful. Because, and this I encourage everybody that wants to start a ministry or even something in our church, some different aspect of the ministry, when they start, I said, be ready to be discouraged. Be ready to be defeated. Because you've got to know that God's calling you to do what you want to do. Because until you know that God's called you to do it, you'll give up real quick. And there are people that I know that they flip-flop to every different thing. This week, it's this ministry they're going to. Oh, God's in it. It's going to be great. Next week, oh, no, that didn't work out. So now we're going in this direction. And after you hear that 4, 5, 6, 7 times, you're going, dude, you're just not faithful. If we can't be faithful in whatever happens in our lives, then God can't teach us. God teaches us through the difficulties. And here with Timothy, he's saying, listen, Timothy, I want you to realize that you've got to depend, and what does he say? Paul's solution there is in the second half of verse 2, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, man. The grace of God upon your life will bring you the strength you need. If you're going through a tough time, if you're in a dark season, guys, I encourage you, lean heavy upon the grace of God. Let God pour over you his love. Because only then can you stand in a church service during worship and freely worship without in the back of your mind going, why am I doing this? Why, I'm singing these songs, but the lyrics make sense, but they're not applying to my life. The words are coming out of my mouth, but it's not real for me. Then you haven't experienced the grace of God to carry you through any storm that you're going through. And to know the unmerited favor. Because listen, again, God doesn't hold back his grace. God just wants to pour his grace upon you. And it's our job as Christians to say, God, this is tough. I'm going through a difficult season. I don't understand what you're doing, but I still know that you're in control. Do you know that God's always in control in your life? If you know he's in control, then we can trust him to work it out. Again, knowing what he's doing. That unmerited favor. Salvation comes, as I said, through faith in Jesus Christ. Keep your place in 2 Timothy. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. I'll check my notes again. Yes, Ephesians 6. Because Paul basically says in 2 Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, that makes sense, I guess, in our minds, but how does it get to our hearts? How do we be strong in God's grace? Well, Paul says it here in Ephesians 6. Look with me towards the end of the chapter in verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." When we talk about the grace of God, it's through Jesus Christ that grace comes. And Paul says here, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So we're not leaning upon our strength, we're leaning upon the strength of God. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Did you see that? Put on the whole armor of God so that you might battle the wiles of the devil, that you might fight against the devil. How many of us are trying to beat up the devil? The whole armor of God basically says, you just stand. You're covered, bro. You're covered with the armor of God. And he goes on in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Amen, we're in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Circle that. Some Christians in here this morning need to hear the fact that all you need to do is stand, guys. All you need, the whole armor of God, is the word, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, all of those things that Paul talks about in Corinthians about what the armor is. Just stand in that. It's remaining in God's strength. Aren't you glad that you don't have to fight? Aren't you glad you don't have to battle? Aren't you glad you don't have to be in the gym at 6 in the morning doing push-ups so that you're ready for the enemy at noon? Amen. Right? And let me say this. I believe God revealed this to me, and I'm sure he's revealed it to you, but he revealed it to me in a powerful way not too many years ago. You know, we talk about putting on your armor. Make sure you get up in the morning and put on your armor. Every morning, put on your armor. Can I encourage you? Put it on and leave it on. Sleep in it. If we have it on all the time, we don't have to worry about not having it. You don't go out and go at lunch and, darn it, I forgot my sword. Always have it with you, the sword. Always have the word of God with you, whether physically or in your heart. That's what devotions are for in the morning, so that the word of God is hidden in your heart and ready to be empowered when you come up against an attack of the enemy. Guys, stand against what the enemy is trying to do in your life. Just stand in faithfulness to God. He's stronger than you are, okay? I hate to tell you that. But God is stronger than you are, and he can fight the battles more effectively. Because notice, in verse, again, 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What are we fighting at? I mean, we're in the flesh, right? We can't battle in the spiritual realm, guys. Our spirit does that. The Lord does that. The word of God does that. There's a battle going on. And if I could ask you to pray for one thing for this church, it's that every time there's a church service or a church event, that you would pray that God would send his angels to fight against those battles that are going to happen every single time we come together in God's name. If you would pray for that, that would be wonderful. Because there's a battle going on right now. And as I'm teaching this, I'm seeing a lot of people nodding and smiling. But I also know that there's people here that are fighting. There's that battle. The enemy's plugging your ears and closing your eyes and hardening your heart. You're like, yeah, I don't understand this faithfulness thing. I tried that. No. Be faithful to a God that is always faithful. He'll never let you down. There isn't a promise that you can find in this book that he hasn't fulfilled or will fulfill. And I believe that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that these things that he's told us will happen will come to pass? Oh, we've got to be faithful in these last days. Go back with me to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Man, we're going to get one point today. Notice what he says in verse 2. And these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul was concerned for the brethren. Paul was concerned of the faith of the people in the churches that he started. And he says here, the things that you've heard from me, Timothy, the things that I've been teaching, the things that I've been sharing, the things that I've been revealing to you that Christ has shown me and that Christ has taught, I'm passing that on to you, Timothy, because why? You're a faithful brother, Timothy. And also that you have heard from me with many other witnesses. Paul didn't just teach Timothy. He was teaching a lot of people. He was one of those people that was encouraging people and pouring in the truth of God's word into people's lives. That's discipleship, my friends. Paul was discipling the younger generation. And he says, listen, you do these things that I've taught you. And then what I want you to do, Timothy, is now to teach others the very same thing. That's discipleship. But notice one thing he says. Commit these things to who? Faithful men. Faithful men. And the only way you can determine faithful men is if you watch to see how faithful they are. Faithfulness comes by actions. Faithfulness comes by knowing someone else's life. See, I can't stand here before you and put a name tag that says, I'm a very faithful pastor. Well, that's not enough. Show me that you're faithful. Show me by your actions, show me by your life that you're a faithful person. Because it's a responsibility to minister the truth of God's word to people, listen, that are going to be faithful with it. I mean, the Bible's real clear. Don't cast your pearls before swine. And I think sometimes we spend so much time trying to pour the truth into people that just aren't faithful with it. I've sat down with people and tried to encourage them and share the scriptures and tell them some insights and some directions, all for them to look at me and say, I've done all that. Really? Honestly, if you've done all that, I think there'd be a change. Truly, there would be a change. And so we must make sure that we're pouring this truth, this faithfulness that we have in our lives by being faithful, by experiencing the grace of God, to pass it on to faithful people that will continue to carry it on. Does that mean we don't minister to people that we don't think are faithful? I don't think that's true. But I think we just need to be careful that we focus our efforts on those that we can see an anointing, we can see a desire in their hearts to further the gospel. Because I believe if we focus on those, as Paul's saying, if you pour the truth into faithful people, guess what? The word is going to get out even more. And it's an encouragement for all of us to really be faithful. In everything that we do, are you faithful? Are you faithful to your spouse? Are you faithful at the workplace? Are you faithful in your school? Are you faithful to your neighbor? I mean, are you a faithful person? Are you someone that people can depend on and count on to be there? Have you been found faithful? I mean, those are the qualifications of a deacon and an elder, if you look in, again in 1 Timothy, that they've been found faithful. We don't just throw anybody in leadership who comes in the door and says, hey, I was a deacon at XYZ church. Well, perfect, you're now one here. No, we want to know that you are qualified for that. And so we need to make sure that we're pouring into men who, number one, are believers. They have to believe. They have to have faith. Those that themselves can be found dependable. And notice he says at the end, able to teach others. Do you see the progression? Paul says, look for those that are going to carry the gospel and further the gospel. Wouldn't you admit we're about 2,000 years away from when Christ lived? And we know the gospel. We know the truth. Timothy did what Paul asked him to do. Timothy was faithful to carry it on and to pass it on and to teach others that were faithful. And if I can say this, if I can find you to be faithful, I'm going to invest in your life. Not because I want the church to grow, but because I want the gospel to be reached to the people that you are impacting, that I can't get to, but that you're around. That coworker of yours that's struggling right now in their marriage, that coworker that doesn't understand why their spouse wants to get a divorce. I want to equip you so that you can encourage that person to make sure that their spouse knows that they're in this marriage and they're determined to stay in the marriage. You know, some people come and say, well, my spouse wants to get a divorce and I'm just giving them room. Oh, no, 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 no. Time out. Don't give them room. You attack them in a nice way. you attack them and let them know, I'm committed to you, I love you, and I'm determined to make this marriage work. Because if we don't say that, it says the opposite. If we just give them room, then, oh, they don't care. And so it's like that in every aspect of our lives, that we must be determined and to be committed to be faithful. It's when you're faithful. And listen, there's many times we aren't faithful. There's many times we fall short. I'm not saying that we need to be perfect, but we need to make sure that we're doing our best to be faithful to God, faithful in our studies, faithful in our prayer, faithful in our encouragement. We're not all called to be evangelists, but surely our lives should evangelize people because we love Christ. And to do that in such a way that people see and want to know more about you and what's going on in your life. That's the excitement. Because when you're doing that, when you're faithful, guess what, guys? You're going to see the grace of God in your life. You're going to be living in His grace, that strong grace that Paul is talking about for Timothy. Next week, when we pick up, we're going to talk about being purposeful. We're going to talk about being determined and looking at our lives and focusing on the fact that I've got to make sure, number one, Paul talks about it as a good soldier, as a good athlete, and as a good farmer. And we're going to make sure that we have those qualities, that we're determined to do what God has called us to do under His grace by His Spirit. I think we're going to fine-tune our relationships to the Lord so that we'll experience the grace of God, because I believe that there's nobody more powerful than a Christian who loves Christ and has experienced the grace of God. And we've all experienced the grace of God if you know Him.